Are you tired of the same old investment strategies? In the next 9 minutes, we are dissecting how COVID-19 exposed the shocking health disparities that plague our world. Get ready for a masterclass by Squire Servance, healthcare disruptor and venture capitalist, on how we can unlock overlooked market potential while creating lasting social impact. This is about more than returns. It's about revolutionizing healthcare.
What inspired you then to start your own fund? I mean, you can imagine you had a great career, you had big corporations, so all the advantages to work with Baxter, and probably also some, just imagining some offers from other big companies with your, given your expertise, then you pivoted to venture capital. What inspired you then to start your own fund and not just lean back and say, okay, where is the next big fund that I can join, and everything is laid out already? What inspired you to become an entrepreneur again?
No, and so, because I had the idea for the fund, the question was the timing. So I knew I was going to do it at some point. And what really happened was, you know, we go through COVID, you start to see health disparities front and center on the television every night. Now, look, I grew up, in definitely in my community, in the Black community that I was associated with kind of growing up, my family, we always talked about health disparities. It was understood that, these disparities existed. But it was quite interesting during COVID to see it front and center on the TV. No one could hide from it anymore. You had more Black and Hispanic people dying, going to the hospital, getting sick, staying out of work longer. I mean, that's what the data. And at that point in time, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, what can we do? What can I do personally to help try to address this issue in some way? And so ultimately try to figure out a way to combine addressing health equity with this fund idea. And that's kind of where we landed. The timing of it was, I don't think there's any particularly great time to kind of go out and do something this large. I was fortunate, you know, I have a supportive family. We kind of talked it over with my wife, and we were like, well, this is a good time to do it. I had pretty, you know, successful legal career to date, and I felt comfortable taking at least a career risk at the time to get the company off the ground.
You mentioned the term health equity. When you look back at your pharma career, how did your perception of health inequalities, health equity change over the years? Where are we today, and how did it evolve over the past years?
Well, I think it's evolved in the sense that there's more structure around what that means, right? So people could talk about health equity and health disparities, but a lot of times it was undefined. As a matter of fact, there still isn't really one common definition of what that means. I describe it as, you know, health equity. It's a state where everyone has the fair and just opportunity to attain their highest level of health, right? Or describe as social justice in healthcare. And I think now you kind of go out and you see what's going on out there, and they have, you know, what goes into health equity, the social determinants of health, and what that means. So there's a lot more structure and a lot more research and a lot more focus on this. And I think, like, for example, COVID accelerated the development and, you know, like mRNA technology, for example, it accelerated, you know, the understanding of why health equity is an issue and why it needs to be at the forefront of many companies, government, state and federal government's minds.
What are the most pressing health disparities you observe in the United States?
So in the United States, I would, you know, obviously the big ones like racial ethnic disparities. That's like a big one, where you can just look at the life expectancy of Black and Native Americans compared to white Americans. It's just, there's a big gap. You can look at, Black women are maternal mortality, right? Black women are three times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications. So, like, just from racial ethnic disparities, you see that. you also see issues around access to healthcare, right? Well, you know, US, we don't have universal healthcare here. We won't get into the politics around that, but, you know, that makes an issue with respect to access to quality care for a number of folks. And that's just not like people, you know, healthcare and access to it. It's not necessarily limited to like urban centers and things like that, but it's rural communities that now may make difficult to get to, you know, hospital centers and things like that. So those are just, and it is a very large and complex issue. I can go into chronic diseases. I can go into mental health, but there are a number of big issues that, that we're facing here in the United States that, from just a health equity standpoint, are big issues that hopefully, you know, folks will be able to focus on and try to address in the future.
If we would narrow down the list and say, what are the three biggest disparities that we should change to improve the situation, which three would that be that have the highest impact?
Well, man, that's a loaded question. Because like it's a loaded question because you have to understand why there's health inequity first, right? Mm. If you understand that, so you have health inequity, what I was saying, like that state where everyone fair and just opportunity to attain their healthy living, right? Then you have what goes into that social determinants of health. What is actually, you know, you have economic stability, environment, education, access to quality healthcare, and like community engagement, right? Those are like pillars. Now, again, there's no one set definition of what all those are, but those go into it. And then you have the structural reasons why there are issues in transportation, issues in housing, right? And so you have to dig a lot deeper. And there's no, that's just why there's no one solution here to address such a weighty issue. So I can't give you those top three things because it's going to take a concerted effort from our elected officials, a concerted effort from, you know, private companies, public companies, nonprofits, churches, community organizers. It's a breadth of folks that really need to be engaged to, if you want to start moving the needle in that space.
Yeah, that's true. There's, I mean, when people are sick, there are a lot of problems. Also here in Europe, I think the system is changing. It's especially, I mean, it's becoming particularly expensive in the last years with an aging population. And we also see these disparities popping up. And sometimes I think I did a lot of research myself in longevity, but coming more from the martial arts side. So I started in the 80s, 90s, and when I decided not to study medicine, the reason was that nobody tackled the question, how can we stay healthy, basically. So at the university level, it was mostly about healing diseases and curing diseases and nothing about how to stay healthy. And when I look at our society, I think nutrition, sedentary lifestyle, no exercise, add a lot. And the difference between educated people who have access to education, and people who don't have it is just, I mean, when I look at people, what they eat and what they drink, it's clear that they develop some diseases.
Yeah, exactly. That's why when, like, you know, question I'll get asked is, you know, what's the underlying root, right? Mm-hmm. And you could look at socioeconomic factors, like just purely like simple, it's like a simple example. Lower income individuals often face issues and barriers to accessing quality healthcare, right? Healthy food. Those are educational opportunities, right? Those are all things that just lower income people face on various accidents. That plays into why ultimately, if you can't have access to healthy food, how are you expected to attain a healthy life? Right. And then you have just broader structural racism and discrimination. And I'll speak in the United States. Right. Just historically, there are disparities have been perpetuated. Right. And access to education, employment, housing, things like that, specifically tied to one's race. And so once you have that longstanding issue in the United States, it feeds into the social determinants of health, which feeds into why there's health disparities, why there isn't health equity. There currently isn't health equity at this point, right?
If you found this conversation on health equity and investment insightful,
please make sure to like, comment, and share this episode. Your engagement helps like-minded investors and executives discover these ideas and support the show's mission to unlock valuable insights from leading figures in venture capital.